Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 30th, 2024. It is, I'm going to check, it is Season 18, Episode 12. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome in to the show, everybody. I'm bumping up your mic level there, Matt.
Thank you.
You are welcome as well. Welcome into the show. I'm going to do this very fast so that we can get on with our show and move on from there. If you would like to get in touch with us, the phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook, same place there as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv, and you can search our name, InGameChat, there, and be able to find us, watch us live. While we broadcast, trying something different with the light. I don't think it's working.
No?
I mean,
for us, it's working fine. For you, you got a really dark...
it's a little dark over here, I know. Yeah. It's fine.
I could turn on my flashlight on my phone and just like...
we're good. I'm gonna bump the level of light on this thing and see if I can get some light here.
That equipment from the morning show, you would have been perfect.
Oh, the old lights over here? Yeah, I know. That'd be great, but... don't have those anymore. You can find us, like I said, on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, search for In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Discord. Feel free to jump in on Discord and talk to us live while we're doing the show here. But, welcome into the show, everybody. Welcome in. So, let's see here. Where was I going to go next, other than what we have played? Normally, I give it all to you guys first to go, and then I go last. I'm going to go first.
Mix it up some.
Only for the fact that I'm remembering now. So what have I played recently? So let's talk about that. I've gotten back into Stardew Valley, even though I haven't really done anything with it. They did a massive update.
Yeah.
The 1.6 update is big update.
That game's just such a fun game. Just for just chilling and just enjoying.
I'm not very far into it. I was never very far into it. And when it updated and I looked at it, and plus with the Steam Deck now, I figured it would be a perfect opportunity to, you know, play it on the Steam Deck. And so I'm still, you know, very, very, not very far into it. Like day 3.
Okay.
I think it was on day 15 from the ever how long ago it was that I had played it. So it's been a while. I'm back into Stardew Valley. Also, what else did I start playing? Oh, Talos Principle 2 is really good.
I finally beat the first one.
Yeah.
Cause I got far into it and then just put it down and like, I picked up Talos Principle 2 cause I saw those out and I'm like, you know, I really need to beat the first one. So I did. I know there's multiple endings.
Of the first one?
Yeah.
I guess there are. I don't remember trying to find them all, but I do. Yes, there are. You're right. There are multiple endings.
Depending on like, you know, what you do and how you interact with the computer and stuff.
Yeah, I think the sequel has multiple endings as well, but I'm way too early in it to really even worry about that or care. I can already tell this is going to be one of those games that I'm going to be trying to squeeze every last minute out of because I don't want to see it end. I'm really, really enjoying it. This thing is hitting all the right notes. You do not have to. You do not have to have played the first one so far. I'm you know, ever how far I'm into it. I'm on the third. It's split up into like I think 9 different islands that has, 10 or so puzzles each, with more than that, I believe, 10 plus puzzles each area. And there's 9 different areas. So that's a pretty good amount. I'm on the third one right now. Just started that, the third area, that has that in there. But, I don't think you have to have played or even beaten the first game to enjoy this one. I'm going to move this out of the way so I can actually see you. I'm looking through, like trying to look through the thing. Little, yeah.
So, okay. That's good that,
I don't think you do. You'll have.
I mean, they're pretty. I mean, like the first one, like they just drop you in, and you're like, "Wow, this is an interesting environment. I feel like I'm in this weird AI Greek world."
Yeah, yeah. It's ruin,
but yet
playing the first one will be a shock when you play the second one. Only for the fact that they start you, and I don't know if you ever did. You play the demo for the second one?
I have not.
Okay, if you play the demo, you'll understand that. But regardless, you own the game and you'll still understand it, because they do a refresher course. And I mean a very fast refresher course. And then the game opens up massively to a situation that setting, I would say, that is way beyond what the first one was.
All right. Does this one have multiplayer?
I don't think so. I haven't seen.
Because it looked like because I saw some videos when it came out that let me know that was out, and it seemed like I saw multiple AI bots running around. I didn't know if that was like if people could control those or if that's just computer.
It is just computer. Okay. There is a reason. There is a story reason why there are there's other bots walking around there.
Because that's interesting. Because the first one, like one of the things I liked about it was so lonely.
Yeah. No. There's still a sense of
humanity's gone.
Yeah, you're not playing the same character that you played from the first one.
Okay.
Not necessarily. At least maybe I'm not far enough in to where that's been revealed. But as best I can tell, you are not playing the same one. I don't really want to ruin it. Because and this isn't spoiler, because it's something that happens at the very beginning of the game. But when you start up the game, you are in the old Egyptian, you know, looking areas, and there's, you know, puzzles from what you did in the first game. You go through, you guide the lasers, and you make sure you open up the doors and everything else.
Yeah.
You collect the Tetris pieces.
Like, oh, yeah. Hey, look at that.
Yeah. You collect the Tetris pieces at the end of each puzzle.
I got so obsessed with that.
Tetrominoes, I think is what they're called.
Yeah.
And so the stars. Yeah. You collect those. You go to the gate. You arrange the tetrominoes or whatever, and they open the gate. And once you've opened up all of them, you go in and you basically wake up. You're in a simulated dream at that point. You wake up as the 1,000th member of this robot society, which is why there are other robots walking around with you.
All right.
Because you are the 1,000th, and then everybody else has different numbers and everything else assigned to them. But you're the 1,000th. You have fulfilled the goal that was set whenever number one was born, you know, that there's going to be 1,000 of these people, and that's going to be the new city of robotic AIs walking around and doing whatever, you know, building things, figuring out their existence and talking about philosophy and things like that. You don't do a lot of that computer stuff anymore, you know, where you'd sit at computer terminals and philosophize,
with the other person on the,
Yeah. There, so far, there's nothing like that in there. Although,
okay.
A lot of that has been replaced by interaction with those other robots.
Okay.
Because when you talk to them and other ways that you can communicate in your, I don't know, it's not really an inventory screen, but it's something like that where you have this communication with other bots that are back at base. And you have philosophical conversations, just like you did. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to do this and that and that sort of thing? Figuring things out as you go. But everything is massive. Everything is huge. You are not relegated to these little areas that have puzzles here and there. You are relegated to these very vast islands that have puzzles here and there. But I mean, there's also tons of stuff to discover and explore that aren't necessarily on the path that you go through.
Quick question. Did you try Talos Principle VR?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I did not try that. I also don't know that if I played the Road to the expansion,
Yosemite?
the Road, I thought it was Road to Ghana, I think.
I forget the name of it.
Guyana or something like that. I don't think I played that expansion pack. I'm not sure if I did or not.
Okay.
In the first one. But again, you don't have to have played the first one to do this. The puzzles are similar, but just like with Portal, they've added new elements to that, to the puzzles and how you solve them and that sort of thing. You'll get playing the first one will give you a better appreciation of what the second one is offering you.
Sure.
But there's no need to, you know, do that if you don't want to.
And I'm assuming the architecture, like the ancient Greek architecture and everything's still kind of there. And like, it's still...
No.
Oh, no?
Mm-mm.
Because I love the way the first one looks.
Oh, you'll like this one too.
Okay.
I promise you will. It's still calling upon those because you're dealing with... each island has a Pandora puzzle.
Okay.
A Sphinx puzzle and a Prometheus puzzle.
Okay.
So it's still pulling in that
steeped
Greek
in that,
stuff. Yeah.
You know, the mythos.
Those three puzzles, by the way, that each island has are outside the norm type puzzles. You're not going to go into a puzzled space and it's going to tell you this is the Pandora puzzle. You have to figure out what that Pandora puzzle is.
Hmm.
You have to figure all of these things out. And now there's something called, Prometheus, of course, provides you this flame.
Fire.
Yeah. If you have a flame, you can go into a puzzle. Then if you can't figure it out, you can use one of those and it'll clear the room for you anyway.
Okay.
If you want to do that, you can gain that back by solving the puzzle on your own. It won't solve it for you. It'll just clear it. You know what I'm saying? It'll just say, okay, you finished this puzzle, even though you didn't do anything. It doesn't put things in the right order for it to finish. It just accepts it as cleared.
Then if you go back and you're like,
then you can,
I've had time to think
about
that.
You can go back and solve it if you want to, and it'll return that flame to you to use for another
nice.
Time. Yeah. I have not actually used any of that just yet. Some of the puzzles don't give you that opportunity. The puzzles that are outside of puzzle rooms, like I said, the Sphinx and the Pandora, none of those give you that option because you have to, again, sort of think outside the box with these. In other words, on the island, there are 10 puzzle rooms. You need to solve 8 of them in order to progress.
Okay.
You can solve all of them if you want to. That's fine. But these other puzzles that I was talking about that are kind of outside that, they will use aspects that are in those 10 different puzzle rooms to solve a puzzle that is not in one of those puzzle rooms. Like, I'll grab the blue laser from puzzle 8 and point it into the sky to hit something that's across the island.
Oh, wow.
Then go over to that puzzle to put something in the air or something to catch that laser to direct it in a different way across the island.
How did you know to do any of that?
You come across it. In other words,
okay,
there are receptacles that are very familiar to you as a player. You're going to look at that and say, that's looking for a green, blue, or red laser. It's color-coded.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'll see it and say, wow, it's got a green... Because that's what I stumbled upon, a statue.
Yeah.
And I looked up and I was like, it's got a green thing. How do I...
But there's nothing around here that, you know,
right,
would solve that.
So it's like, how do I get... I need to go find one of these puzzles and see if I have an eye line or eyesight, whatever it is.
Yeah.
To that particular thing or to something else that can get me there. It's kind of...
They kind of did that in the like last levels of the first one.
They did,
I had that where even though it was in the same world area, I was at one puzzle and I'm like way over here. I needed to get like the extra star or...
Yeah.
You know, to some, okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. They've got those. And
they
and,
have some of the most interesting environmental puzzles.
It's wonderful. It's so, there. I love it to death. And you also get
if you like environmental puzzles, you can definitely
fantastic.
Check it out.
You also get, when you're looking at your map or when you're looking to, actually, you can look at it in your map, and you can look at the map anytime. The map, by the way, is not a map of the island. It's just more of a map of you're at this place. Here's all the puzzles here. You have solved, you know, 8 out of 8. You found 2 of 3 sparks. You have found 1 of 2 flames. You found a secret room that there's, you know, that sort of thing. It gives you a what's it called? Like a checkpoint type thing.
Yeah.
You've done all of this.
Okay.
So it kind of lets you know, it's like, oh, I've got one more thing I need to do here. So let me go and find it. It doesn't show you where anything is, but you have to go find it. And the, like I said, it is sprawling with just stuff. I went to the third island I went to today, and these open up in order. So it's not like you have a choice of, I'm going to go to one of these places. They open up in order. So it's linear in that way. The game wants you to go. But this one I went to was my first one that had a massive sense of scale. Giant statues, massive. I'm massive.
All right.
There's one that looks like a you know, an underwater mine type thing. But this thing is huge. I can't. The scale I can't really give you as to how big this is, but it is insanely gigantic. Enough that it messes with my megalophobia thing, where if I get up close to it, I don't want to look up because it gets me dizzy.
Yeah.
So they're very, very huge. I am both excited and a little scared about it because I know they get bigger just from the demo that I played. Plus, when you first start the game, this massive version of Prometheus shows up and talks to you and whatever. You've seen Prometheus. He's on the, like the, he's like the box art.
Okay.
He's all chained up and whatever, you know, robots in there talking to him. Anyway, I'm in love with the game. I love it very much. There's a new way to use the Tetris pieces now.
Okay.
They aren't used. Yeah. The Tetraminos or whatever. Yeah. They are used now to build bridges rather than to unlock doors, but basically they're still kind of unlocking something because it lets you progress. And it
unlocks a path now.
It does. Yeah. It does. Because basically, if you think of those shapes in a 3D environment, you have to build a bridge using them.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only can you switch between the pieces you have to choose from, they have a connector on them to where the next piece will connect to it. And you can flip, turn, do all this stuff to see how it's going to connect from this side to the other side. Because there is a way that it should connect. And, you know, you have to lay those pieces down and that forms your bridge. And then there's questions and things, philosophical things you have to answer and all these other things. It's wonderful. I love it to death. It's fantastic. And I'm so glad that I'm enjoying it and that it's doing that. And then the other game I played was Balatro or Balatro, whatever we want, wherever we decided to call it.
I'm going.
I finally beat a deck.
Congrats, man.
47 hours of playing this game, and I finally beat my first deck.
What game?
And this is what I got to look forward to. Balatro.
Balatro.
Haven't heard of it.
Dude, it's really good. It is...
it's a card game with a...
poker. You play poker, yeah. Right?
I mean, not professionally.
No, I mean, I know not professionally.
Basically, what you do is you take a poker hand out of the eight random cards given to you, and you get these jokers from the shop in between rounds to beat a blind. You have to get a certain amount of chips, the small blind, the big blind, and the boss blind. And the thing is trying to get through this whole game, luck of the draw, really, because I'm still working on trying to beat my first deck as well. I was really close today, by the way. But
it's like a card roguelike type thing?
Yeah, and the jokers are really fun to discover and use, and then you try to work your hands around those jokers.
I don't know if there's
the biggest score that you can possibly get.
I don't know if there's a demo still available. There was a demo during their Next Fest,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if there is. I don't know if there's still a demo up for it.
I can always give you that Balatro tutorial, or you can just look it up on YouTube or something. It's there.
This is not what I asked for. Balatro. Balatro, whatever it is. Is there a demo? Nope, there is not a demo.
No more demo?
Yeah, that's kind of, okay. Yeah, that's not fun that there's no demo. It's very, it's really, really, one guy developed it. It's currently on sale, by the way, because, it's for $13.
Overwhelmingly positive reviews.
Oh, no, it's, yeah. And I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah.
So now I've got to work on beating my next deck, and then, you know, I beat the red deck. I started with the first one. I beat the red deck. Now I'm moving on to the blue deck.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. So. In my case, it was set up for me on a silver platter. It was just I was building up the wrong thing. In my case, I had the Lustful Joker, which boosts up my hearts. I had the Shortcut Joker. I just discovered that one, which lets me get straights, but not I could skip a number. So instead of 10-9-8, I can go 10-8 and still have that count as a straight.
Yeah.
Or a flush in my case, right? But then I had some another joker as well that give me bonus multipliers for face cards.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a bunch of jokers that was doing really good for me. But the problem was I was using planet cards to boost my flushes and straights. And I didn't have anything for two of a kind, three of a kind, anything like that. So the last ante I was on, I got to land ante 6. And the boss blind was the wall, which makes an extra big blind.
That's what I had for my final.
Yeah. So mine was, instead of getting 60,000, which I probably could have gotten if I played my cards right, no pun intended, but it gave me 80,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I was just short. And the problem was I had built up the wrong type, because you can get two of a kinds, three of a kinds all day, but it's hard to get a straight and a flush, even with the shortcut that I had. So I had to get maybe 15,000 chips per hand.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't enough to get to the 80,000 I needed. I didn't have the right setup, and I didn't have the right things boosted that I needed. So
I know it comes down to that. I mean, yeah. there was a point when I was working on this current run that I beat where I thought I had not gotten planet cards at all. I was running on just the Joker multipliers.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I really got to get some planet cards here, or at least something that can. And so what happened was, is I was getting later into the game, especially on my final three blinds.
Mm-hmm.
I would play each of those. I never skipped any blinds in that one because I wanted the store as much as possible.
Okay.
So that I could get stuff. I had already bought things that brought the price down in the store. I can't remember some of the other things. I had two negative jokers inside, so that let me have.
That reminds me. I did
five, six, seven.
I had a negative blue joker.
Yeah.
So it gave me one extra joker slot.
Right. I had two, so that means I had, seven jokers up there doing what they needed to do. I had two jokers that were polychromes. So they added 1.5 multiplier to that. I arranged those in such a way that the multiplier came at the end, because I wanted all the things that gave me a plus multiplier to do that first.
I got to do that more.
And then I wanted the multipliers to hit at the end, so it would take that number and multiply that on top of it, because it's always going to do the steel cards. I bought some tarot cards that would turn cards into steel cards, because I knew before I play a hand, I could turn one of those into a steel card to keep on me so that it would also increase the multiplier.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a bunch of jokers and I had tarot cards waiting. And then when I got to the very last store that I was going to have before I faced the big blind, which was 300,000 chips that I had to get to beat that deck, I went from $150 in the store to $5, because all I kept doing was re-roll the store until it would give me, I didn't need jokers unless it was a really good joker.
Yeah.
I didn't need jokers. I was looking for planet cards, tarot cards, anything that was going to give me a benefit in this next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept re-rolling until I got down to $5, and I had gotten a pretty good amount. And then I played, I had one of the jokers gave me like a plus 15 multi when no discards were left.
Mm.
So in other words, I was rolling through, getting discards out of the way. So I played my first hand, and it got me like, I don't know, 3,000 up there. And I knew that wasn't great, but I was just like, yeah, it's fine. Then I played, I think, another hand that was like a two pair, which I had leveled up at some point to, I don't know what it was, not very much. Yeah. And then I finally got my five aces. And I had an ace multiplier and a couple of other things up there with club multiplier and different things like that. I converted two of them to clubs so that it would do, you know, so it would give me more. I think, no. I had something that would turn left card, right card, that sort of thing. So I was able to make another ace since one didn't come up. And then I was able to make a steel card. So I had three steel cards, five aces. Yeah, I threw those up there. It did the thing. And I thought, oh, no, because it came up to like 296,000 chips. But I didn't realize I had already had like 3,000 from previous hands before. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, man, I didn't make it because it was my last hand at that point. Yeah. But no, when it combined with that, it sent it over. I took a screenshot of it. It's on my it's on my Steam profile or whatever.
Yeah.
But I took a screenshot of the final score there. But I was, oh, man. I was so happy. Was so happy I finally beat a hand. Been trying for
beat a deck.
Yeah, I've been trying for so long to do that. So that's why I wanted to go first.
Yeah.
So I would eat up all of our time.
All right.
I know. When we come back, we're going to find out what Matt and RJ have been playing, because I've just talked us all the way through this half hour here. Anytime I can sell somebody on Balatro is fine. I don't know if you're looking into that, but it's on Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch.
It's pretty much everywhere, folks.
It is everywhere. And he's working on a mobile version as well. It is one guy that developed this. And he's already, what, sold like a million units already have been gone on this thing. It's just doing fantastic with it. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will, we'll find out what Matt and RJ have been playing. We got music here from Unicorn Overlord. Which I don't think has anything to do with being an overlord of unicorns. But I don't exactly know.
Vanillaware.
Is it?
The makers of Dragon's Crown, Odin's Sphere.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is called, this is the music for the overworld section, the daytime music for that. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This is music from Outlast Trials. Coil Chase Music is what I've labeled this as, so that's what it is. There you go. To Dave, who might be wondering what these songs are. He left a comment on our Facebook page about what the tracks were from our show. Let's talk to you guys, find out what you've been playing. We'll do Matt last. We'll go with RJ next. What have you been playing?
Well, like I said earlier, I was playing Balatro. Almost made my first win with my red deck, but I didn't. So I'm going back to the drawing board. And I know which.
Keep trying.
Which, yeah, know which, which jokers to seek in my case, and seeing if I can upgrade them like you did, because it seems to be the key is just upgrading everything you can as soon as you can when you get to that last part.
In a sense, yes. I mean, it helps. Like if you start, you know, it helps to look at your deck and see, like, do I have an abundance of aces? Well, then I need jokers that help with aces. Mm-hmm. Do I have just an abundance of hearts or diamonds or clubs? Then I need cards that benefit that. Mm-hmm. You know, jokers that benefit that. And if you're working on same suits, then you also need planet cards that upgrade your flushes. Mm-hmm. Your straight flushes, your regular flushes, that sort of thing. If you've got a bunch that are, like I said, face cards, you know, that sort of thing. It all depends on how that stands. That builds for you in the early sections of the game mm-hmm. as you're playing. That starts to build. It's like, all right, I'm working towards a flush play or a face card play, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like one of the things that got me was skipping a blind would give me an instant 3-level boost on a certain type of hand. So I went immediately.
If you can do that, if you know that you can hit that next blind mm-hmm. without kind of, you know, any problem or anything like that, then sure, definitely do that.
Yeah, I mean, anti-1. It was given to me anti-1.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, totally.
Yeah.
I almost always skip the first one if there is a benefit to it. Mm-hmm. If it adds the problem is if it adds something like a holographic or a polychrome into your joker into your next store, mm-hmm. the price on that thing usually will be, it'll exceed how much money you have.
How much money you get. You only get like maybe 3 to 4.
Yeah. It's sometimes not beneficial to do that. But, one of the first, okay, on that hand that I was running that I beat with mm-hmm. The deck, the first joker I bought was one that would, every time I click the blind, it'll give me 2 jokers, 2 common jokers.
Hmm.
And so I did that, and the first 2 that it gave me were unbeneficial to me whatsoever, with the exception of money.
Yeah.
It gave me, like, hey, at the end of the round, you get $4, you know? I was like, okay, that's good. And then the other one, it was the egg one, the egg joker.
Egg one, yeah.
So like the resale value of that one increases with every blind.
Mm-hmm.
So with every round, the resale value of that one would increase. But I sold it the first, you know, because it was $7. I was like, oh, easy. That's an easy sell. So I sold that one and had money and just, I played through that until I had found cards or jokers where I'm like, all right, let's keep those. I can sell this and let's work on something else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that egg would max out at what, 50?
I have no idea. I've never, it doesn't stay in my hand long enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was working on that. I was trying to play Virtua Fighter 5 as well.
You're trying to?
Yeah. Unfortunately, having some internet issues.
Oh.
Couldn't get a stable match. I mean, I can get online with games, no problem. I mean, that's not an issue whatsoever. But when it comes to competitive gaming and fighting games in particular,
you need to have a really good internet.
Yeah, it is. It was a little herky jerky, mm-hmm. stuttering sometimes. Even when the connection said was lime green, good, perfect connection, still had issues with it. So, and it only started recently. So yeah. I'm wondering if something went up with my. With my setup or anything else, because if I could play Grand Theft Auto online, no problem.
Yeah.
Nothing hiccups, no problems there. But only in the fighting games, when I go online, does it mess up somewhat. So I need to figure out what's going on there.
Hmm.
But other than that, and what I discussed earlier, that's all I've played this week.
All right.
Yep.
Matt, what about you? It's been a while. So what are the highlights of your gaming adventures?
So I picked up Arma Reforger. Which is like a new version of Arma. I've been playing Arma 3 for
Arma. All right. Yeah,
for Jesus.
In my head, it was Irma.
No, Arma.
And I'm like, Irma. What is Irma?
Arma. Sorry. We're going to try that tomorrow with Kevin and another guy.
My grandmother was named Irma.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not Arma. Irma.
Irma
Gerd.
I've been doing Vampire Survivor some more.
Yeah, you know, that's...
It's fun. It's
I
got it on my pad, and so I've been, like, I'm having to redo where I'm at, because on my computer,
yeah.
I've gotten most everything unlocked. Although I just picked up the new DLC with Among Us,
Yeah, I've downloaded it on there, but I just haven't done it. Did it? I'm gonna have to check. I need to load it up on the PC itself, not on my Steam Deck, because when I loaded up on the Steam Deck, it was like starting fresh. Hmm. And I'm curious if my
it should connect. I mean, it should.
I want to go back to that and see if anything changed. I want to go back to the PC version mm-hmm. and see if my save is still there.
Yeah.
If for some reason it's not, or there was I don't know, because it's been a long time since I played it. And so I don't know if something got reset or if it just didn't save over. So I'm going to try that. I had the same problem with Stardew Valley, actually.
Okay. So yeah, for the for my little pad here, I've been playing that and just going back through and like re-unlocking everything.
Is that a mobile version?
Yeah, this is I have an Android tablet, and so I have it on here.
So they have an Android version of the game?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Let's see. Kickstarter. I backed one of my favorite games was the Broken Sword series. When Broken Sword 5 was being kickstarted, I backed that
mm-hmm.
and got it. So they're for the 25th or so. Actually, 25th maybe. I don't know. For the anniversary of the first game, the Broken Sword Shadow of the Templars.
Yeah,
they're doing reforged version of it, like a reforge whatever. And so they're going to update the graphics, redo the hand drawn sprites, redo everything, make it 4K, all this kind of stuff. And so I went ahead and I backed that,
mm-hmm.
and I'm excited about that. It's just one of I love that series. You know, adventure games are just...
Yeah.
I like the point and click and everything. Let's see. The Spider-Man 2 got updated.
Yeah, I still haven't played... Wait. Oh, you got a PS5. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
And
so...
Have you played anything else on that?
Oh, yeah. On that, let's say I beat Spider-Man 2.
I know. You talked about that. I think you talked about that the last time you were here.
Yeah,
because you had bought the PS5.
Playing God of War.
Okay, the 2019 God of War, not Ragnarok, but the first one.
I'm gonna beat the first one first.
Yeah, no, you should. You absolutely should. That is those two games are. They really are best played.
Back to back.
Almost back to back. Exactly.
And that's probably what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
So you know, I've been going through that one.
I mean, I wouldn't take too long of a break in between them, but they're best played back to back. One goes right into the other, and it's to have it still fresh in your mind. Not only just the muscle memory of how to move, mm-hmm. but also just the story beats and everything else. It's good that it's still there. That's a very, very narrative driven game.
It seems like the older that I'm getting, you start playing a game, you get used to it, but then like when you swap over to another game, you have to like, hold on, it takes me a little bit longer to retrain my brain and retrain my hands to get, you know, to back, all right, let me try and fumble through this again.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I try and go back to a game and I'm just like, I don't remember how to play it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like I've tried to Witcher 3 a couple of times. Like I'd like let it go for a while. And I guess it didn't help that they update the system. For Witcher 3, the game itself, and like the menu system, and like the stuff behind the curtain, mm-hmm. that like when you go back into it after like 2 years, you're just like, none of this looks familiar.
Right.
Yeah. It's my case with fighting games. I have to relearn the system.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. For that, or
probably even worse for you because you play so many different fighting games and there's so many different configurations of. Well, I say that, but a lot of them are universal in the...
Some are universal.
Especially moveset type stuff.
I was trying to remember which character does, you know, down, roll, forward, punch, you know? That's a lot.
Really?
All of them, yeah. I mean, in fact, that's one thing you can count on with fighting games. There's always a universal motion that everybody
There's only so many things you could do, I guess.
Yeah, there's only so many ways. Yeah, you can try something really different out of way out there. It's not going to catch on. At all. So yeah, stick with the basics, the ones that everybody know about, and it's the simplest way to get your message across of who does what.
Yeah.
So yeah. But like I said, with systems and fighting games but the story based narrative, things like that, how to operate the controls and everything. Like if I were to pick up Bloodborne right now, and start trying to pick up where I left off.
Be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can figure out how to attack and everything because it's still the same way with the shoulder buttons, but I forgot what the face buttons do or the D-pad does or how to get an inventory. I can guess. I just fiddle around and find out. Eventually, yeah. I get it, but it's going to take a minute.
On that, still playing a little bit of Elden Ring.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Still get my...
I don't know. Hand. I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to catch any references, but yeah. RJ will if you want to talk about
the,
it.
DLC?
I have not.
Well, it's not out yet, is
it's
it?
It's not out yet, but I'm saying you're going to pick it up.
Possibly.
Later on.
How far are you into the main game proper?
I still get... So I play with Kevin. You know, I don't do it by myself. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, we found a mod to make it where you could do the whole game co-op.
Oh, nice.
And that's the only way I've been playing it because, like...
I understand.
He's real big into the lore, and he's real big in, like, oh, yeah, I've already gone through this section. I fought this person. This is how you do it. And I'm like, okay, let's fight this guy. And he, bam, I'm dead. I'm like,
Stardew has co-op now, by the way.
I heard.
Yeah.
So for me, like, where I'm at in the game, I don't know. I can't tell you. We've unlocked a lot of the map. We're somewhere. I'm getting, you know, brutally murdered every time.
Right.
But like, I just do it more as a way of just, like, playing with Kevin.
Okay.
And, like, you know, going, you know, with a friend who's, you know, like, in a different city. I mean, different state, actually. And just, like, you know, like, that kind of time. Just
He's still over in Georgia?
No, he's moved to Ohio.
Oh, is he now in Ohio now?
Yeah.
He was in Georgia for a while though, right?
He was.
Okay, he moved back to, because he moved from Ohio to Georgia.
To Georgia. He moved, back to Ohio years ago.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, it's just one of those things that, like, you know, a chance to play with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that narrows it down. That place where you get killed a lot. That's
everywhere.
Could you be more specific?
I'm like, oh, hey, look, a mosquito, and I'm dead.
Dead.
Yeah, I feel like that South Park
meme. You think he's joking?
I know he's not.
Mosquitoes are.
I don't think he's joking at all.
Even locking on to mosquitoes don't help. They can still dive by me and make you miss.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're a problem.
And you know, I think I'm like my character level is like I think 80 something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I mean, like we've been doing it for a while, and I have got strong armor, and I've got like you know a good sword and everything. Like, well, Kevin will go ahead and he'll pick up stuff, and then he'll like you know he'll like drop it off for me because you could share.
Yeah, you can drop items that you don't need or can split with
So with this, with the multiplayer mod, we can actually share items.
Yeah.
So, which is really nice because he'll have, like, I'm not using this weapon or this armor here. You have it. And I'm like, hey, that's better than what I have. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But, you know, he also does Sekiro and some of the other stuff. And, like,
I've got to get back into that, too.
The muscle memory and, like, the patience for it, if I was doing it by myself, I would.
Yeah, Sekiro is you really do have to work on your timing for Sekiro because you don't have a shield this game. All you got is your blade
and a parry.
And you have to parry.
Yeah.
You can't like sit there and turtle with a guard all day. I mean, you could do it, you could do that, but you're not going to get anywhere anytime soon. It's going to be real inefficient. In order to get your wear out heavy duty enemies in the game,
mm-hmm.
you've got to parry. You've got to get them weakened and worn down so you can actually do some damage. With your serious damage with your attacks. If you don't do it, you're gonna be in for a long day.
It's not like other games where it gives you a liberal parry window.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you have like split second like to do this just right, or else you're gonna be just you know perforated.
Yeah,
you're talking about Sekiro. I was thinking of
really any of them by From Software.
The Stellar Blade demo
mm-hmm.
that is currently, I think, only on PS5.
Okay,
but it's Stellar Blade. I think it's called Stellar Blade.
Stellar Blade.
It's familiar. You're familiar with that? Yeah. Okay. Because it's got aspects of Sekiro in there. It's got aspects of, I guess, Dark Souls and a lot of those sort of things in there. I haven't played it. I haven't seen anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've just heard that it's got a mashup of a bunch of. I don't want to say Souls-like because it doesn't seem like it's that.
A mixture of different type of games.
It is, but
like Lies of P was.
Kind of, but this one also has Nier Automata aspects of it too. Okay. There's just little flavors of this and that you've seen before that are also in there. So,
what's the word? An amalgam of
different
games thrown into one.
Kind
of. Take the best of each one and throw it into one game and see what happens.
Yeah. Did you see any of the play stuff for Ken Levine's game, Judas?
No.
There was there was
Ken
a big,
Levine has a new game.
He will. There was like a preview thing that went on, I guess, I don't know about last week, but maybe week before last, where, you know, journalists got to see an overview of it. I don't think they got to play it. They got to interview Ken, and they also got an overview and some gameplay sent to them so they could show that off and show the interview as well.
He did BioShock, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's got aspects of BioShock.
Is this like sort of how BioShock was a spiritual successor of a
System Shock?
Is it kind of like that, like where it's a in that line of realm?
Gameplay-wise, yes.
Okay.
Story-wise, I don't think so. But it's still gun in your right hand, ability in your left hand, you know? Mm-hmm. You want to set fire to something, boom. If you want to throw electric shock on the ground when there's water to electrocute everybody, you can do that. You can also hack into the... I mean, it's very...
Shock-like.
Mechanically... BioShock.
Yeah.
Which was System Shock.
I know.
So...
But it's...
Okay.
But there's something different to it. Not necessarily in the game mechanics of it, but at least the story. There is no lighthouse here. There's nothing like that. They're calling it something to do with, like, Lego pieces. And that's going to put your mind... That's going to put you in a frame of mind that you probably shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
Basically, there are three other people in the game, and I don't mean other players. I'm just talking about three other people that you're dealing with in the game. They're not necessarily bosses, but they each represent a certain aspect of the area that you're in. And the problem is that they're all related.
Okay.
So in other words, there's this sheriff-like dude who's very much, you know, authority, police, sheriff, meh. And he's married to kind of a pacifist. And they have a daughter. And you are trying to appeal to all three of them as much as you can without, like, if you give more attention to one, you're going to lose favor in the other two. If you give more attention to two of them, you're going to lose favor in the third. It's a balancing act you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't really expanded upon this, but it has something to do with that.
Okay.
And basically, as long as you can kind of put those pieces together, do something for one that's going to benefit all, hopefully. It's usually not that easy, but, you know, something like that. And I guess that is, I don't know if that's how you progress or that's how you get more out of the story. But there's that's kind of the aspect to it.
Sounds like faction management in a bigger scale game.
Kind of feels that way. You're right. It does kind of feel that way.
Fallout New Vegas comes to mind. And, first off the top of my head, like between the NCR or the Caesar's Legion, you know, who do you side with? I mean, you can go full in on each side, or you can like play both sides or
against
whatever.
Each other.
Yeah, against each other. You can do whatever, but yeah.
But I don't think you can do that because
they're family.
It's a family dynamic, and so
you got to satisfy everybody.
If you pit one against the other, then you're going to lose all three.
Yeah, I mean, it's a harder thing to do try to satisfy everybody,
mm-hmm.
which is never simple.
Yeah. Lethal Migraine says, actually, Press did get to play it, so there is that. But I'm telling you, all the gameplay just tells me, all right, you're putting the BioShock... Excuse me. Excuse me. Sorry. You're putting the BioShock mechanics all over this thing. I mean, it's essentially just...
That's what he knows.
Yeah. It really is. And I'm okay.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, tweak it a little bit.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I'm okay with it if you can, you know, make that more of a fresh thing, you know, like put it in different wrapping paper, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the mechanics are just that. What's the story?
I know.
The story of System Shock was interesting. That's what engaged me. The story of BioShock was interesting.
Yeah.
The mechanics were basically, you know, a lot of the same.
Mm-hmm.
But like the mechanics of any first-person shooter.
Was that the case in System Shock, though? You had ability in one hand, gun in the other? Because I don't remember abilities.
Yeah, you did have... You could do psych
That's abilities. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so... tell me, the story is what's going to be the hook.
And right, yeah. And so we're waiting on that.
So
narrative-based title. So yeah, that's your.
How much first-person shooters really changed mechanically since, you know, Doom?
True.
You know, you still have a gun. It's you just still fire things.
I know. It's just the different environment that you're thrown in to deal with that.
You bring along with it.
We're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we're going to get to the phone. I imagine it's Chris, but I don't know. They've been holding for a while, so I appreciate that. But we're going to get to the phones when we come back and jump into some of the news as well. Here is music from, I guess the game is called Guilt, unless I was trying to abbreviate something, because it's GYLT, and it's called Sally's Lullaby. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Melatonin. Track is called Dream Ocean.
Except for that bass line and that drum beat, it fits.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what the point of the game is, but it's called Melatonin, which makes me think it's, you know, make sure you go to sleep.
Yeah.
But you want a game that puts you to sleep. I like chill games. I don't like games that put me to sleep.
Melatonin, let's see. Melatonin is a rhythm game about dreams and reality merging together.
Okay.
Uses animation and sound cues to keep you on beat without any intimidating overlays or interfaces. Harmonized through a variety of dreamy levels containing surprising challenges, hand-drawn art, and vibrant music. Has a very positive rating. Came out in December of 2022. And the developer and publisher is named Half Asleep.
Makes perfect sense. Let's go to the phone.
Sure.
Hey, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
It's me, Chris.
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Hang on. Let me get it off the speakerphone.
Okay. Sure. Sounds pretty good, but sure.
So far.
Oh, maybe it's on my end. Anyway, I'm not going to mess with the VCR no more. I've about had it where I replaced the loading belts and everything, and that didn't do it. It's probably some gummed up mechanism stuff in there, and it almost ate one of my rare tapes that I didn't think about that I shouldn't have put in there. So I'll just button the thing back up, and I'm not going to worry about it.
Okay.
And they're all rare at this point, aren't they?
I would think so.
VHS. Yeah, but it's even more rare because it's an old anime series. And it's the only one that, like, a couple episodes that were dubbed in English of a series that never was. Oh. And that's all they did was, like, two episodes. And I had to put it in there, and it crinkled a spot of it. So it made me mad.
Mm.
Yeah, it's one of those I spent about $40 on.
God, ugh.
But anyway, my
condolences on that, man. I've been there before. Oh.
But, yeah, I never planned on watching it anyway, but I know it'll still play, but it's just one little spot. You know, it's got a, you know, a bell bad spot on the tape, but it'll still play through it and all.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to put it out of my mind and not worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what else?
But on the other since y'all been talking about the Talos Principle, I saw that the Ultimate one on the PlayStation was on sale for $5, and I was pretty sure that this is a no-brainer. But I wanted to get your opinion that this is, yes, it's absolute must. You know, why haven't I downloaded or bought it yet? And that's what I was wanting to ask you.
I mean,
I would say yes.
You've
for
got,
$5.
It's $5. I get it. But if you aren't into puzzle games, it doesn't matter what you spend. You're not going to like it.
True. I mean, if you like environmental
I like puzzle games.
Yeah, I mean, but it is. That's all it is. You go into a room and you have to direct beams of light to open doors and to you pick up cubes that activate pressure plates. So far,
yeah, just the lasers.
I mean, there's the laser
mines,
thing.
You could freeze stuff.
In the later levels, you have to mess with time.
Yeah,
and
rewind time.
Yes, and that can become real brain. Bad wordy things. It'll really, really mess with your thoughts, which is fine if you like that sort of thing. I mean, it does advance.
But it eases you into it.
It does. It does. So, yeah, but I would say $5 is definitely worth doing it if you're
like
into puzzles.
Games.
Yeah, really. It's, again, great, great game. It's made by the same people that made Serious Sam, which is weird.
You know, I didn't know that, or maybe I did. I just... brain dumped it, but
well,
like,
the Egyptian
that makes sense.
The Egyptian locations
the locations, the artwork, and like, okay, yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Crow Team is the
Crow, yeah. Yeah. I just all right.
I mean, it reminds me, I've got their poster for the first game that's autographed. I think that's in my portfolio thing that holds my posters. I think I've already got it in there. I've been going through and flattening out all of my posters and putting them in a flat file.
Yeah.
Flat file type thing to hold them until I can do it so that they're not rolled up in tubes.
Hold them till you frame them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or decide to frame. There's no way I can frame all these posters.
There's not enough walls in the world.
I know, man. There's no way. I need to pick what I'm going to frame. I mean, maybe over time they'll all get framed and it's just going to be what am I going to hang up. But
just swap them out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Movie posters in my case.
So anything else, Chris? What else going on? Anything else?
Well, I don't know if you've been looking into it and all, but I don't know if you heard, but Retro Game Planet, the video game store that's owned by Rustin.
Yeah, they moved.
They started in the process of moving, and they're going to be opening up possibly on the 4th, about the middle or end of next week. So
where are they moving to?
I didn't know
to?
If you were aware.
They're moving on 31. What's a way I can tell you where it's at? It's in Prattville. Still.
It's in that building that has the food store and the old Wasateria plant in it. It's on the right side of the road going into Prattville.
Okay.
Trying to think of
so
what I could tell
you.
It'll
be off of 31.
It is. It's off of 31. You know the turn to go into my neighborhood off 31? Just go down a little bit further and look to your right, and it'll be on your right.
Yeah, it'll be closer to you.
It's a lot closer to me.
almost walking distance?
Some hills.
Anywhere walking distance if you have enough determination.
Yeah, really. There's some hills you don't really want to mess with, but yeah.
Oh, hills, okay.
There's some hills you don't want to mess with.
Grandpa's hills from walking to school every day.
Oh, good Lord.
Ways.
No, these are some steep hills. But yeah, there's, you could walk to it, I guess,
but
it's a lot closer.
Just drive.
Yeah. Well, all right, Chris.
What Rustin was telling me, his warehouse is right next door to where the store is going to be, so they can walk from one building, one section to the other, and go into the warehouse. So he gave me a private tour when I stopped by there the other day. I think it was on Monday afternoon or Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
One day, when they were out there working.
Well,
and showed me in there. And they didn't have it at the old location, but they're going to have the United States Postal Office, pick up their packages and stuff at the new location for their things that they sell online on eBay and stuff. So they're not going to have to make trips to the post office no more at their new location. So
oh, okay, I got you. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm.
But yeah,
pleased to hear.
Anybody that's familiar with that shopping center, it's the old one where that old square building that used to be a pawn store years and years ago, and that big shopping center where the Washington and that flea market is.
Sure. I was trying to think of what I could reference to him, yeah. and I can't think of anything that I could reference to you. It's not like it's, you know, across the street from the McDonald's, which you would know. There's nothing there that I could tell you, like, it's across to or next to that is really significant that you would, you know, kind of landmarkish that you would know.
So. I mean, I'm pretty sure over time they'll update the address and give it out to everybody. So, yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's not hard to find. It's really not. Yeah, it's off of 31.
Yeah, they've already updated and they've got a mural painted on the front windows and stuff. So anybody can drop by there and find exactly where it's at. And they've updated on Russin's personal webpage on his Facebook page and the game store webpage's Facebook page as well. So anybody can find it and go through their recent history.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, thanks for the update on that, man. Appreciate it.
But yeah, it looks like it's going to be fantastic and all that. It's going to be like longer and wider than the original store was for the main shop.
Hmm. It's been a while since I've been in there. So, but Chris, good hearing from you again.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good one. We'll talk to y'all later.
Take care, bud. Okay. Bye bye.
Take care now.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Let's go over to Discord. I think he's in there. I see Steve is hanging out. Steve, you there?
Hey now.
Hey now.
What's going on?
Well, all right. What's going on, man?
I was just checking in. I caught the latter half of the show. I don't know. Just I'm kind of in a weird spot with gaming right now, so I didn't know what everybody else was playing aside from Helldivers. So I thought I'd check in and see what I should be playing.
I haven't played Helldivers, and I should. I should buy it first, but I haven't played Helldivers.
One thing I heard about Helldivers was that
Helldivers 2 anyway.
Helldivers 2 is that someone's maintaining the difficulty is going to be able to tweak it or whatever. The difficulty can be tweaked a little bit.
I suppose. I don't really know much about the game myself, other than everybody's playing it except me, it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty... I mean, it's a fun drop-in game, like, especially when you see everybody playing. You can just drop into their game and help them out.
I know. I've been seeing a lot of the old COG folks playing, and a couple of... And obviously the guys from my Destiny group doing the playing as well.
It's a really satisfying game, though. Like, just go, I mean, especially when you're killing bugs. It's just, it, I mean, it's Starship Troopers, the game.
Really. I know.
And even
exactly
the opening
that.
Little cutscene. There's like a opening cutscene to the game when you boot it, and it's like a parody in the same vein as like the Starship Troopers movie.
So it's more so. Starship Troopers the movie, the game.
Yeah.
Which they already have.
It's because, like, the book was different.
But they've already got, like, a couple of games that are based on Starship Troopers.
They do.
There's one in Early Access right now.
Yeah, there is.
And they just didn't go anywhere.
Well, it's too late now. Like, Helldivers is out.
Yeah.
It's going to satisfy that itch. And then when it finally does come out, people are going to be like, yeah, we've played this game before. It's Helldivers. And you can fight bugs and robots. So why would I just play a game that you can fight
while
bugs?
While also piloting a mech.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's...
The mech is so fun. So that's the thing. Like, as it's very grindy in the sense that, you know, you have to level up to unlock a lot of the stuff. But it's very satisfying. Like, there's no... It's not like, oh, my God, I have to, you know, collect... X more of these things. There's none of that because there's always something going on or something like to kind of achieve, or, you know, either short term or as you play. But just really the variety too, kind of going through the maps, like the different planets and like the natural disasters that exist on all these planets that, you know, you have to avoid on top of the bugs. So it's a good balance of non-repetitive gameplay, but still maintaining like a fun way to level up and to achieve, you know, some of the prizes towards the you know, the unlocks. I say prizes, but I mean unlocks that you can get later.
Hey, Steve, what's the weapon variety like in Helldivers 2?
Ooh, so it depends. So you can go. What do they call it? There's a thing. There's something you can unlock. You get medals like when you do missions, and so you start off with a machine gun, just like a basic machine gun, and you have a sidearm pistol, And then you have like special weapons that you have to unlock to call down. You basically I play the game so much I forget like the terms they use. You have to summon them from your ship that's orbiting above the planet. Mm-hmm, so if like if you want your flamethrower, you gotta type in this code and it sends a pod down, crashes on the planet, and you pick up your flamethrower. If you die and you need your flamethrower again, you have to repeat that. So it's not going to be, it will be on the ground. Like you can go back and find it but if you're in like the giant swarm mess, you're probably not going to go back and pick it up. So you're just going to call down a new one. Mm-hmm. So the special weapons, you have like flamethrowers, grenade launchers, like rocket launchers that can take out bugs from pretty far away. And then there's other specialty weapons like backpacks that you can put on, and it will have like a drone kind of follow you and like, you know, keep your backside covered while you're working on something forward. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of different variety there, but you can also, as you play and you achieve medals, you unlock, and I've been looking it up, trying to figure out what they call it. It's basically another tree of weapons that you can get to.
Oh, okay.
So like, for example, like you have a regular machine gun, and then you have a shotgun, but then there might be a shotgun with flame rounds, and then there might be a shotgun with exploding rounds, and you can get those each time you get a new weapon. It has a slight change to the projectile. So there's all kinds of different varieties of, and I just think I saw an announcement that there's going to be a new machine gun that they're going to introduce soon, which you know, more the better. More things that they keep adding.
I'll eventually get there. I know I will. I just don't know when, but I feel like I'll eventually get there. Maybe this month I might try it, but so far
the cross platform is very good.
Yeah,
so that's the other thing with this game. This is kind of like a landmark game in the sense that, you know, we're starting to see the walls break down between,
well, for Sony it's Microsoft.
I don't think anybody was expecting this game to be as successful as it was. No one was, because obviously in the first week you couldn't even play it because the servers were overloaded.
Yep. Sony did not expect this. I know that.
And this isn't, you know, this was on nobody's real, I don't think people were like putting this on their wish list, being like, can't wait to play this.
Yeah.
I remember them showcasing it during one of their state of plays that Sony had done. And I looked at it and I was like, well, that's great. But I got, you know, it felt like Destiny. It looked like Destiny in some ways. And I just said, well, I've got Destiny. That looks good. But it's not going to, you know, scratch the itch that I have. Yeah. However, I can no longer play Destiny, so it apparently will scratch that itch that I have, and I should get onto it. I just don't know why I haven't yet. I don't know. I've been messing around with other things and just haven't jumped into that. It's been nice to be able to play, and this is my own, you know, self-restriction speaking here, but it's been nice to play other titles here instead of being locked into that, like, well,
the grind.
Yeah, you know, it was always a sense of I could play something else, or I could put more time into Destiny to go through the season.
It could have been a reason Helldivers 2 got so much press, because any of the games that were released with it didn't do too well, because I think Suicide Squad released like a few days before it.
Yeah, and that just sort of went nowhere.
Yeah, so everybody was hyped about that, and they disappointed them so much.
Oh, massive disappointment.
Yeah, so they were looking elsewhere, and then Helldivers 2 popped up, and it knocked it out the park.
They're disappointed still, because apparently the season started. The first season of whatever Suicide Squad has, but there's nothing. They added a new character with Joker, but that's it. They didn't add any kind of new elements of gameplay. They didn't add new mission types. They didn't vary things up. They're just like, here's a new character, and here's, you know, more in-game enemies to fight.
New
but
character
nothing.
New character in the same disappointing game.
Nothing changed.
But anything? What else was released around that time with Squad and Helldivers 2? I can't think of anything else that was released around that.
I'm sure there was some other stuff, but as far as, I mean, the big focus was Helldivers 2 and Suicide Squad, which was not very...
That's the embarrassment, right? Like, it's not even in the top 100 on Steam. Like, the thing's dead on arrival, and nobody cares.
Suicide? And I don't know what to...
So they left a void, and Helldivers was able to fill it.
It was, but sure. I would still say that there's a void there as far as Rocksteady's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still have a void to fill in that regard. I suppose if they try to do that, I don't think they're going to be able to. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be able to release another game that's going to, I don't want to say fix the problem with Suicide Squad, but redeem anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the next thing, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't see, I mean, if you're not going to entice people back with Joker, what are you going to do? The only thing people wanted to play was like the Batman styled, you know, combat of the next Rocksteady.
Yeah.
You didn't provide that. So
that's it. So they could get to work on one now. And by the time, I mean, how many years did it take? 7 years to make this game?
Yeah.
Was it like 7 years? Yeah. 7 years to get to this point where they released Justice League to, you know, basically nothing, no applause or no big fanfare. They released this thing, definitely no sales numbers, to warrant money to put forth to make a new game. And even if they tried it to make up the deficit of what they've lost on this, mm-hmm. Warner Brothers more than likely would want them to implement more of what they're doing here as far as like, we need more revenues of income.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need them to just buy this game. We need them to put more money into this game as they go to make up for that. The corporates are not going to let go of this money on top of money thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not going to let this go of, hey, they can't just buy our game once. We need them to pay for our game over time.
Well, in this case, the fans like watches.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though.
That money's going to something else.
We want them to buy the game once, and then we want them to keep paying, which is something we used to have to do a long time ago. We got into that, where you would buy a game one time, and then you would pay a monthly subscription to continue to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore.
Like, what, MMOs were the ones that did that.
I know, and they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Now it's all the stuff inside.
Well, what they've got, I guess, now are just expansion season pass things.
Season passes, yeah.
So you pay...
Fighting games in particular.
Yeah, you pay something. Usually it's not, like, for Destiny, it was on an every 3 month basis. You pay... Well, actually, no, it was every year. You pay a new expansion, you basically buy the game again, and you get the season pass that gets you through the year. I don't know how WoW works anymore. I don't know how it... I know that it was I know it was a monthly subscription fee, but I don't think they have that anymore. I don't know what they have.
No, I think they still do. Isn't that... One of the guys in Blizzard came out and presented like a chart recently.
Okay.
And it showed like the ups and downs of like... It didn't have specific numbers, but it was just a chart showing... like what their subscription base looked like during their classic release and then, you know, as they go. And apparently like in the last month, it's been, you know, higher or around the same height, if not higher than the classic, which was a huge bump in popularity for the game. So
yeah,
it's alive and a decade later.
We're
more than that yet.
I had no thought that it was declining or anything like that. I just didn't know if they were still doing a monthly subscription or if they were doing like the season pass thing, if they had gone into doing that.
I think it's $15 a month still. I still think it's
that. You get everything, yeah. Oh. All right. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's just one of those things where it's like, man, it's been a while since...
What year did WoW come out?
It was around...
2004.
Yeah.
So 20 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's around the time City of Heroes...
Yeah. Dropped
was kind of about a year Fading. Into City of Heroes. Yeah,
yeah. I was looking up the.
All right, so 20 years.
Yeah, Battle.net popped up, says that it got a 12-month offer at $13 a month. Well, $12.99 a month, but $13 a month for World of Warcraft. Yeah, still there.
Oh, for when you pay for a year subscription.
Yeah,
is that what it comes down?
Yeah,
12-month
offer, $12.99 a month. Save $24 a year.
That's right. I forgot. Final Fantasy 14 probably has a monthly subscription, I believe, as well. Guild Wars? Guild Wars 2 or whatever?
Those are like huge franchise. Like Final Fantasy is so big, though. It's like they can offer that and get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you were to try to do a subscription with a game like Suicide Squad, people would not. No way.
I don't think you could do a subscription service game right now. I mean, obviously, these other games are grandfathered in, But I don't know that you could do a subscription service game.
Like a new IP game.
Or yeah. New, yeah. Like, here it is for
not
a month.
New IP. It would have to be like a major franchise, like a Star Wars.
Look at those games MMO. that tried that and failed. We had Age of Conan, I think. Or was it Age of Conan? Or was it just... Yeah, that tried to do a monthly subscription a long time ago. What was another one? Hellgate London, I think? Or something like that.
The one the Diablo people...
I played that. Gone. I just saw news about that, too. They want to reboot the Hellgate London
they
game.
They do.
I swear, this week, I saw news on that.
I know.
That they wanted to try and... apparently, someone brought back some servers, too, for that, I guess, recently, too. The kind of, like, renewed interest. I don't know.
Guild Wars 3 is in development as well. So, yeah. Oh, and we got a new Marvel game that is basically very much... what is it called?
Rivals?
Well, Overwatch. It's very Overwatch.
Is it Marvel Rivals?
Yes. Marvel Rivals. 6v6 shooter. Which is going into
beta. You were talking about that other Marvel game that they released that trailer to that came out of nowhere.
Oh, you mean Amy's game? Marvel 1945?
Yes. Wait, that's a game?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a
series. Where did that come from? There was no... it just came out of nowhere, I think. Okay. I don't think...
Well, we looked up the history on this last week when we were talking about it. They had announced in 2021 with, like, here's a title, or here's what we've got. It's Captain America and Black Panther. Then in 2022, I guess 2022, we got the title announcement. I think 2021, we got the announcement that Skydance was working with Amy and Marvel to do a game. Then 2021, we got a title. And then just 2 weeks ago... she was on stage at the State of the Unreal, whatever that is, that presentation, which is not where you would think this thing would be announced, but it was shown off. And then there was this tech demo thing shown off as well, which was just amazing to see.
I mean, it looks incredible. And yeah, if you're going to pitch, you know, the next Unreal Engine, then that's the kind of thing you want to look at. You want to see... You want to see something as gorgeous as that.
And that thing was playing.
Was that game footage?
She said that at least 25% of what was shown was in-game footage.
Were live actors in any of that?
There were mo-capped. I mean, if that's what you're asking about. There were no live actors, no.
Really?
Yeah. But there were... Because
part of it, I'm like, that looks like a live person. But other parts look kind of uncanny valley. Like, I think that's... Like fake? I thought it was an animated series or something like that.
It's not. It's a game. It is a game.
All right.
Yeah. It is. She's not directing it. She's only writing it.
She's written some great stuff.
Oh, no, she has. She has. Again, just to repeat this, it got us to reconnect because I sent her a text the next day. And it was like, hey, congrats. I know I haven't talked to you in forever, so I don't even know if this is going to... I don't even know if this is your number anymore. Yeah. And sure enough, it was. And we were able to catch back up. But yeah, she's very, very proud of that. She's very excited about it as well, but I'm just hoping, like regular other stuff, it just doesn't get canceled before it sees the light of day, man.
I need to know what kind of gameplay that game is going to have, too.
I know. We missed out on, like, at least two Star Wars games from her because the studios didn't survive. Terrible. Yeah. So, I think...
Was she involved in that Bounty Hunter one?
Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Was it like 13-13?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the other sort of...
and then there was another one she was trying to do.
Yeah.
That didn't survive either. That was... And we got no title on that one. We just got a quick glimpse of somebody exiting like a home on Tatooine or something. Yeah. I don't know what it was. And that's all. He was wearing a cape. You didn't see a face. It was just, he's out. And that was it. That's all you saw. And it's like, okay, good, we got something. But then it never came to pass, and the studio shut down. She was let go. Now she's been hired by Skydance to work on this Marvel 1945. 43? Yeah.
Marvel 1943. Rise of Hydra.
Yeah, Rise of Hydra. Exactly. So, looking to see how that goes. And that was in the tech demo, was that there was a scene on a bridge. Captain America's chasing after Black Panther.
Yeah.
And they have this conversation there on the bridge. And you see that play out in the trailer. And then she says, hey, let's go back to that. And now we're going to remove the mask off Black Panther because apparently they could do that.
Yeah.
The mocap was filmed with his face. And so when they remove the mask, it's just the actor's face.
And you see him talking.
And you see him doing, complete emotion and everything. It just looks so fantastic. Just really, really good. I mean, we've talked about, I know they did it in almost every single Naughty Dog title there, from Uncharted all the way to Last of Us. And a couple of other games have done well with facial animation, but it's always been top tier from like the Naughty Dog folks. And this gives me those vibes from seeing that camera work, that mocap work, and that focus on getting the actor's performance digitized. And it's just looking really, really good. Hey, we got to take a break. Can you stick around, Steve?
Sure.
All right. We're going to come back real quick and finish up this conversation. Music here from a game called Snufkin. It is.
I'm sorry.
That's the title that's got me worried.
It's not. Yeah. It's not. It is. It's folklore based on. Oh God, is it? I don't think it's Swedish, but and I don't think it's Norse. Dutch, maybe.
Okay.
But it's a folklore.
Some Scandinavian.
Yeah, it's a folklore thing. It looks nothing like. It's nothing.
Might be Swedish.
Is it Swedish?
Maybe.
Snufkin. Yeah. Anyway, this is called Welcome to Moomin Valley.
Oh, Swedish.
Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat, a very orchestrated Contra theme. This is the soundtrack from Contra Operation Galuga.
Galuga, yep.
You knew exactly what it was.
Yeah. Saw the... Saw the demo in the shop and saw the gameplay of it. It looked really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where it is from. Welcome back, everyone. Steve, you still with us?
I am.
There he is. You said you were in a lull. You hadn't played. You were trying to see what everybody else is playing. So you just haven't been playing anything, or?
No, I've been bouncing around. I finally got around to playing Dad of War on the deck, and well, first of all, I mean, I'm impressed by that I can even stream it from my computer to my deck.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Which is crazy. It works so well that I was happy. I tried downloading it directly to the deck and the performance wasn't great. So that's where I streamed it, which is, I was a little bit surprised because I played both Spider-Man games directly on the deck, like down one from the deck, and they were flawless. It was seamless, beautiful.
Spider-Man on Steam Deck was amazing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, everything was great. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna play all the games I missed out on the deck, and I was gonna start with Dad of War, or continue with Dad of War, and I couldn't get it to really be to run at 60 frames or 30 frames very, very well at all. But streaming it from my computer works great. In fact, I didn't even realize it because when I started streaming it I was playing on my deck, like in the living room, and then I walk into my office where my computer is, and it's actually the second screen is up, like, you know, the monitor came awake, and I can see my gameplay on my second monitor. Yeah. I didn't realize that that's actually what it was doing.
It plays on your computer.
Yeah.
Just like that. It's just also playing on your deck.
Yeah. That's basically like a giant remote control.
I've thought about doing that with Talos, but Talos just feels so much better with a keyboard mouse thing that I just prefer it that way. I also prefer not for being a bigger screen and up close rather than playing like streaming it on the TV and using the deck as the controller.
Sure. Yeah. There's all kinds of different gaming moods I get into with where and how I want to play games. So I totally get that. But no, I just like I'm playing that casually, but I'm just looking for, I mean, and I am playing Helldivers with people, but what else is there to look forward to in 2024? I don't know. I'm kind of in a weird, like there's nothing on my radar that's really sparking any interest, or at least one with a date that I can say, oh, I can't wait.
Not a Dragon's Dogma guy, I guess.
No.
That's fine.
No. No.
Sounds like you're trying to convince yourself.
Well, no, because I was going to get into the whole thing with my problems with Baldur's Gate 3, but okay. I'll save that for a different day.
All right. Perfectly fine. Perfectly, you know, that's perfectly fine to feel
that way. That's why I was asking you guys, like, what is on your radar for something that's coming out that is, like, top, you know,
ooh,
top
for
of your list?
Something that's coming out.
Yeah, like, what's number one for you? I can think of one. I won't say it yet because I want to hear what you guys say, but it doesn't have I don't think it even has a solid release date yet. So
I mean, if we're looking at things that don't have solid release dates, then GTA 6. That's on my radar.
It's next year.
I know it's next year, but this year,
something in 2024 it's like,
I'm not interested in Marathon, which I know we're getting that from Bungie, I think.
So,
yeah.
What we're getting, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not Marathon.
Yeah, I know.
Because I played Marathon back in the day. I played Durandal back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those were, like, I remember back in college when, you know, like, people were playing Doom. I was in the Mac lab playing, you know, Durandal and stuff like that. And
we did talk about...
I don't know what this thing is.
But it's not Marathon, I know.
Like, this is not Marathon.
We talked about Judas. I don't know when that's coming out, but there was some gameplay stuff revealed on that.
2030.
Probably.
Honestly, I've been taking a step back from gaming in a while. Just like, you know, I've been doing other stuff in my life and...
For upcoming releases, I don't know.
I don't even
really
know what's coming out anymore.
I know. I've not really been keeping track of anything that is
not like like I used to be. You know, well more versed.
Yeah, it just nothing's hit me yet, and I know I know eventually it will. But anything on your radar other than the Elden Ring DLC?
That's pretty much the only thing I can think of.
Elden
right
Ring
now,
DLC.
I'm actually looking forward to DLC for Elden Ring.
I mean, Arma 4 when that comes out, but I don't know if it's going to be this year.
Light No Fire, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Is that this year?
No, there's no release date. I'm sure that's not even... I mean, how long did it take for the other game to come out?
I tell you, though, Light No Fire. He has got to... what is it? Sean? Is that his name?
Yeah.
He's got to deliver on this one. I'm not saying that he won't, but I think that he built back enough of the trust... that people are taking his word for it again.
After what game?
No Man's Sky.
Oh,
it's the same group doing that. But instead it's not space now, right? What is it now? It's just a big giant world.
I mean, it's unclear. It looks like a city builder only on a planet level,
right?
But like the way
like
it
a
was
planet
described,
to scale level,
right? Like he described a mountain. On your planet, and if you were to hike that mountain in real life, you know, it would take you 6 hours, and that's how long it would take you to hike in the game.
Right. They're putting it to scale as far as this planet. I know.
He has to deliver.
That's what I'm saying. It's like No Man's Sky really, 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 pulled the plug on a lot of people as far as disappointment with that. But over time, you were able to build that trust back. And now here you come with another very ambitious game. You better deliver when it releases, because you're gonna have to do that. You know how hard that climb is, mm-hmm. and you're gonna have to do that again if you drop
about
the ball.
6 hours,
right? That climb, yeah, good one. So yeah, there is that. When you're talking just future games, then fine. I'm looking forward to the Wolverine game. I'm looking forward to the Venom game. You know, when I go, I'm looking forward to the Marvel 1943 game. You know, there's plenty.
None of these games have dates, though. It's all
they
just
have
like...
none. Absolutely none.
The only game that has a date that will probably be played by me, and I'm kind of excited for, is Space Marine 2.
Okay.
And who knows if that date will stay the same. It's September 9th, 2024 right now. But that's a ways away. Like, what else is coming that... I don't know. It just seems like we're kind of in a...
I mean, last year at this time, we were anticipating a Zelda 2 release,
yeah,
which was happening in May.
That was a good one.
We were anticipating a Diablo 4 release that was happening almost like a week later, plus Street Fighter 6.
Maybe it's just a good time to catch up on back catalog.
And then when we got into August, we got Baldur's Gate 3. When we got in September, we got Mortal Kombat 1. When we got into October, we got Spider-Man 2. And we had... Yep.
Last year was like a
City Skylines too, and everything. Yeah, and so
it was like a landmark year, because we don't see too many of 2023s come out with that many packed games like back to back to back, and even the games that didn't like hit critically or commercially, you know, that still came out in that time, like Callisto Protocol, you know, which is still a big release for people that were Dead Space fans, you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping more for like the little out of nowhere indie games like Dave the Diver that just like showed up and just was just wonderful.
Well, yeah, that's what Bellatro is for RJ and myself, mm-hmm. as to just, and which I don't know if you
like just a small development. Hey, here's a throwback to, you know, fun.
I don't know if that's something you're interested in, Steve, but Bellatro has I put 47 hours into that thing.
What's it called?
Bellatro, B-A-L-A-T-R-O. It is a poker roguelike. I don't know
how
if
does
you,
that work.
Do you play poker? Do you know poker?
I am aware of how to
Texas Hold'em style. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But so, I don't play regularly.
Well, you have you know, just to explain it all, you have blinds that you have to. I say blinds, but they're points you got to make. You got to score this many points, and you have this many hands to play in order to score those points. And you can discard. You've got so many discards you can do. So I can throw out a set of five cards four times, and then I can play hands and that sort of thing. But once you do that, you go to the shop, and you can buy cards. So I can take a deck of 52 cards, and I can put in 10 more cards to that deck. I can do five of a kind. Even though you normally wouldn't be able to play that in regular poker. I can do five of a kind that's also a flush. I can have five aces, all clubs, and score a massive amount of points. Because I've manipulated the game to play that way.
That does look fun. There's a developer playing it on Steam right now, and I'm just kind of watching as you're describing it. And, you know, it seems pretty quick, fast-paced as well, so you got to be quick.
I think if you go to our Twitch channel, you can, I think where I streamed it is probably still there, maybe. I'm not okay. sure, but I streamed it one Sunday morning and played it, and you could probably get an idea, because you can also buy jokers that every time you play an ace, it doubles the points of the ace, but also adds a multiplier to it.
Yeah.
And so then you just start running into these massive scoring.
Yeah, one of the fun parts about Bellatro is the modifiers through the jokers, and there's 150 of them in the game that can alter how the cards are played and how many points they give you. And there's so many different varieties of these things that some helpers are like off the wall crazy, and some are just really basic and simple. Yeah. Like what we were talking about earlier about shortcuts that allow me to have flushes and straights that don't need all the cards in the set.
Right.
No, or
there's a joker that says hearts and diamonds are the same. clubs mm-hmm. and spades are the same. So I can mix clubs and spades and still get a flush.
Yeah.
Because my Joker has modified it to play that way, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, there's many different ways to do it. However, I know you love to chase achievements. Be careful if you get into that one, because there's at least one achievement, I think, that's in there that is probably... You could probably do it, but...
Oh, yeah, man.
Might take a minute.
There's a couple of games on my list that I had a couple achievements on that I can never get 100% on. And then some of the games have shut down, so it's impossible to get it anymore.
Right,
so
yeah. But it's on sale. That game's on sale this week. It's great on the deck. It's fantastic on the deck. It's $13, and I've enjoyed it. But it's also on the Switch and the PlayStation and Xbox.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So.
All right, I'm going to check it out. That would be a great deck game for sure. Sitting on the couch, hanging out, chilling.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But we got to run, man. We're at the end of the show here, and it's been...
I did think of a game coming out this year.
Yeah, what?
That I probably will pick up. Death Stranding 2.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
Death Stranding 2?
That's...
Is that this year, though?
That has a release date?
I'm pretty sure it does. I thought it was this year.
I don't know.
Look it up, RJ.
He's looking it up now. I'm skeptical.
RJ's our man in the chair.
I have doubt.
Release date of 2025. That is all we have right now.
Never mind. I could have sworn it was this year. Oh, well.
Don't tease me like that, Matt.
I'm sorry.
Star Wars Outlaws, I think, is this year, maybe. Ubisoft?
That doesn't have a release date either.
It doesn't either?
All these have, like, supposed release dates. Like, I'm looking for something that has, we're locking this down June 4th, 2024.
Yeah. No, there's no lockdown.
Yeah, but at this I was about to say at this point, with what we've seen, a lockdown date, it ain't coming out on that date. We expect delays at this point.
Yeah. So
I'll take a month delay. That's fine. At least I can look forward to it. Nebulous year dates don't do anything for me. That's not gonna get me going.
Yeah.
Well, it was good hearing from you, Steve. We got to run, but,
Yeah, I love talking to you guys. Thank you.
Great talking to you. Take care. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Matt, good to see you again, of course.
Good to be here.
As always, thank you for calling in, Chris. Thanks for talking to us, Steve. I told you I was going to have music for this game. For this one.
From the Riverside,
that was not supposed to happen. I even set it to where it would not happen.
We are a professional
And now
outfit.
I am upset because I lost the music. Gah! And now we're back to Unicorn Overload again. Oh, man.
That was Columns, by the way, folks.
It was Columns. And excuse me for just a minute.
Oh, man.
As I look
We were so close.
How many years have we been doing this?
Man, this is going to bug me.
That's what I love about this. We're just still the same people.
Yeah. I'm fixing it right now. You're not going to deny me of this. Because I love this.
Yep. Yes.
We got to go. Bye.